KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde in for Ross Reynolds. Last year, the Washington State Supreme Court told lawmakers to fully fund basic K through 12 education. And Randy Dorn says that's going to cost taxpayers an additional $4.1 billion per year. He's also out this morning opposing the state initiative on charter schools. And Randy Dorn is running unopposed to continue as your state superintendent of public instruction.
Thank you. And
hey, Randy Dorn, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
So the breaking news out today is your opposition to charter schools, and I want to get to that in just a second. But first, I want to talk about the state of state education funding. The state is currently allocating, I read, $13.6 billion to K-12 for the next biennium, and you're calling for an additional $4.1 billion. And I'm wondering, how will that money be spent if it's allocated?
Okay. First of all, it's not Randy Dorn saying this is exactly what we should do. I have the backing of the Supreme Court saying we've underfunded.
Yeah, that's how I start. I said Washington State Supreme Court told lawmakers to fully fund basic K-12 education.
So
perfectly
Randy
clear.
Dorn's
yeah.
Saying $4.1 billion.
But the $4.1 billion is coming from your office, correct?
Okay. What does it pay for? The first $1.6 billion, what does it pay for?
Right.
To and from school, that's transportation. That is basically what the state is not picking up today. Local levies are picking that up. Something called MSOC. MSOC is opening up a school, heating, cooling a school, insurance of a school. That's short $500 million. And then this legislature 3 years ago said, we need to fund all-day kindergarten. So that's added into it. And then it's class size for K through 3. That's the first $1.6 billion. Then the next $2.5 billion is paying for the existing employees that are in our system today. That is, administrators only get 65 cents on the dollar, paid for local levies. And then support personnel only get 50. We only pay for half of those personnel. That's the first stage. And then we would move into prototypical schools, which would be getting us up to about $6 billion.
And have you done the breakdown? How much additional spending would it be per student in Washington State? Or what would our level of spending per student be after we get factor in that $4.1 billion?
You know, it is kind of hard to do because of you're going to phase it in over 6 years into 2018. But today we're 42nd in the nation. And where we've kind of projected we would land if we did what McCleary said to do, we would end up about between 21st and 25th in the nation. So a little above the average.
Randy Dorn is here, and he is your state superintendent of public instruction. If you've got questions for Randy Dorn, give us a call, 206-543-5869. So I guess the next question for you is, talking to lawmakers about this, what kind of power do you have as the state superintendent to actually implement that budget?
Well, actually, I'm an advocate for kids. That's my job. I'm not a legislator. I'm a former legislator. So my job, I produce a budget, but I don't vote on the budget, and I don't produce how you pay for it. But if the legislature, they have a commission right now, a committee that's supposed to look at funding solutions to this problem. And if they don't come up with a solution, I believe I'll step up and move forward with a possible revenue package or how do you pay for it? Because I think we're going to have to put everything on the table. It's going to take more resources to do it.
And, you know, as you just sort of referenced, but the state's been budget cutting like crazy for the last few years. Have you had conversations with lawmakers about how they might figure out how to come up with an additional $4.1 billion for education?
Well, we've had discussions. Nobody, you know, wants to go out public with it until after the elections and stuff. So I will hold to that code of honor. But we've had a number of conversations with legislators. Obviously, in the paper, what's gotten a lot of press is a levy swap with the state property tax and stuff. And so there's a lot of solution-oriented proposals out there. It's just, what can you get 50 votes for and what can you get 25 votes on?
And I want to actually ask you about the levy swap idea in a minute. But, you know, we've got a gubernatorial race. Those folks are campaigning, Rob McKenna and Jay Inslee on education. What do you think of their competing proposals for trying to fully fund education?
Well, first of all, I want people to understand that Jay's been a longtime friend, and so I've supported Jay for governor. But on the other side, I want to say, I think anything that's solution-oriented should be on the table. So I think the levy swap should be on the table. But I also believe that there's no way we're going to be able to do the funding for the McKenna case without new revenue. It can't be done with just growth of the economy.
Well, let's talk about the levy swap. Just explain what it is for folks that haven't really heard about it. It's a little bit complicated and how it would work.
Okay. I'm going to do kind of my rotary kind of version of it.
Perfect. Okay?
Here's what it is. We have districts today that pay like Yakima pays $325 per thousand, and you might have like a property-rich district paying like $1 per thousand. The state has room in their property tax that if you took some of the levy dollars, like right now, it's let's say it's 30% levy. If we took the top 10% of that levy and moved it over to the state property tax, so it's there every year. You don't have to vote on it every 2 years. It's actually stable, that you would be able to do to and from school transportation. You'd be able to do MSOC, which is opening up the school, heating and cooling the school, and probably be able to do some of the staffing that people exist today. You'd be able to do that, and that would be under the state, because people are paying for to and from school today. You know, people go, well, if the state pays for to and from school, that will be a lot more for the local district. No, under the levy swap, local districts are paying for part of to and from school today, and you're just shifting what the locals are paying and putting that in the state. So you're still got to and from school. It's just going under the state instead of the locals.
And this is something gubernatorial candidate Rob McKenna is backing. Would it mean any additional revenue for the state, getting us closer to the $4.1 billion?
Under what I explained, it wouldn't be really an increase for schools. But if you look at growth and the growth of property taxes and valuations, there would be some growth there too.
Bottom line, do you think, I mean, how much does adding more money to the system improve education?
You know, let me tell you what it does when you take money away from it, okay? So 4 years ago, we had some very quality summer school programs for kids that struggle, and they had summer school programs. A lot of summer schools have been taken away, so those kids struggle. A lot of after-school programs have been taken away. A lot of extra things like librarians in schools have been taken away. Computer teachers in the lower grades have been taken away. That's what you're really – it's not just you're adding. You're actually putting back money from where we cut 4 years ago.
We're talking to your state superintendent of public schools, Randy Dorn, and it's actually Superintendent of Public Instruction. You just held a press conference 30 minutes ago talking about Initiative 1240 on charter schools. What's your position and why?
I'm against charter schools. This initiative I'm against because I believe it's unconstitutional, and here's why. In the initiative, it makes a new commission and a new agency under the governor's office to approve and disapprove public schools. Under the Constitution, it says the superintendent of public instruction oversees all public schools. This removes a number of public schools out of the superintendent of public instruction's office and puts it into the governor's office. To me, that's circumventing the Constitution. And I believe they erred in making the initiative.
So why not just let the courts decide if it turns out that it's unconstitutional to get overturned?
I think that's what will probably happen. I'm hoping it doesn't pass. If it passes, I believe it'll end up in the courts.
Some of the other arguments that you hear about charter schools are whether or not it would take revenue away from existing public schools. These are public charter schools taking revenue away from public non-charter schools, traditional schools. What do you make of that argument?
Let me just try to make it simply. Let's take a Renton public schools, for example. If you had a charter school go into Renton public schools, that means kids would come from other elementary schools. And so you're taking money out of those elementary schools. So you're either going to have to change the lines, the boundary lines, because they lose kids, or you're going to have to close a school. So that does take money away from the Renton public school system because it's following kids to a different system. So it does take funds away from Renton public schools.
And, of course, advocates for charter schools will say, look, we're talking about only 40 charter schools over mm-hmm. 5 years, and these are going to be carefully targeted at places where the existing public schools aren't doing as well as they should. What's your take on that?
Well, I have two takes on that. One, it says, low-performing schools would have a priority. So it doesn't eliminate other places to take the schools. That's what it says in the bill. And when I'm around other parts of the country, it's amazing to me that in the wealthier suburbs in metropolitan areas, that's where you see charter schools. So I have some fear about that. I do believe that the people that wrote this initiative are really trying to focus on the lowest performing schools. I do believe that.
Randy Dorn is the state superintendent of public instruction. If you've got questions for him, the number to call is 206-543-5869. There's been a couple, as I understand it, alternatives proposed to charter schools. One is the creative schools approach that's happening here in Seattle, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. What do you think of this idea? This basically would be a school within the district that would have a lot of leeway in terms of the curriculum and that sort of thing, but the teachers would probably still or would still be unionized.
Yeah. You know, I think innovation, we need to push for more innovation. We need to push for the 21st century type of speaking and project-oriented teaching. I'm all for it. You know, I think there's going to be different ways for kids to learn. And we have to give as many choices as we possibly can. But they should be public, and I believe they should be housed in the superintendent of public instruction's office.
And there's also 22 innovation schools that were mm-hmm. approved by the state legislature. What are those, and what kind of alternative do they represent?
Well, a number of them, a couple of them that I visited in Tacoma, you got Lincoln Center, which is basically a public KIPP school. Now, people don't know what KIPP school is. That's a type of charter school where they go to school longer every day, and then they go to school on Saturdays for enrichment and stuff. And they've been able to figure out how to do it in their public schools. And I was just at them, and last year they had a 98% graduation rate. Then Lincoln had been historically one of our worst in graduation rates, and they were able to go up for the kids that went to the Lincoln Center. About 125 kids go every year, so it has a school of about 500 kids inside the high school, and they had a 98% graduation rate. And it's a different way of doing things.
You know, and one of the criticisms that you made and has been made of charter schools is taking money away from the existing classrooms. Aren't these innovation schools and creative schools also, in a certain sense, diverting resources away from existing classrooms?
No, because of the fact that those kids are still in Lincoln High School. They were Lincoln High School students. They're still in Lincoln High School. And in fact, there are higher levels of learning, and they had about 30 to 32 kids in a classroom. So it doesn't do that because they stay in the public system.
Randy Dorn is with us. He is your state superintendent of public instruction, and we're talking about the state of state education funding and some other education reform-related issues, for lack of a better phrase to describe it. In the national debate and also the local debate over education reform, we've developed a new state system for evaluating teachers. Yeah. What's your opinion about how effective that's going to ultimately be in the classroom for kids?
You know, I was the one that was putting the pedal to the metal on this. I really wanted to go more data. So you use data in the evaluation, you use test scores and stuff. And I didn't quite get there when we did Race to the Top. And I said that publicly. But now that I've seen it play out across the nation, I think we probably have the best system out there because it really involved teachers, it involved administrators, it involved principals, and we had better data of how can you use test scores and data, and it doesn't work for every teacher. And we've piloted a number of districts. We had 9 projects, and now everybody in the state next September has to pick their evaluation model, and everybody has the same structure and backbone, and then we'll be doing the training of principals. We did it this last summer and through the next year, and then we do the training of teachers, and they get to pick one of 3 models, and they'll be educated in it, and I think we'll have more quality teaching by making the shift.
It seems like sometimes the elephant in the room in this conversation about teacher evaluations and teacher reform is how do you weed out ineffective administrators and ineffective teachers? Is this new system going to be something that's going to give districts the tools to do that?
You know, I don't know for sure. I had a very controversial bill last session that said, and people said, well, that takes too long. Well, right now, I think it's very difficult to get rid of a weak teacher, although it can be done with a very quality principal and working together with everybody. But I said, if you get we have a 1, 2, 3, 4 scoring rating. And I said, if you get a 1 2 years in a row, you're done with the district. No due process. You just move on. That didn't go very far because there's a lot of people that get excited about due process. But I think in the future we'll have more discussions about the process and how can we, if maybe not change it, but make it so it actually moves instead of at a snail's pace, but in a more get a better, quicker resolution to improvement of a teacher. The first thing should be to improve a teacher, and then it should be dismiss a teacher. And so if we have more resources to improve teachers, I think we'll do a better job of improving the quality of instruction.
We're talking about the state of state education with Superintendent of Public Instruction Randy Dorn. I'm wondering how you think student evaluations of teachers should factor into the overall evaluation process.
You know, it was real interesting. I went to a workshop 2 years ago, and they said a highly qualified evaluator and a quality survey by students comes out about at the same matrix, that kids are very honest, and they know if they're using their time wisely, there's quality instruction, it's valued, it's worthwhile. And I think it does play a part. How much of degree, I think, would have to be negotiated out. But I think students give you a really good indicator, and I think that's valuable to a principal of what students believe they're gaining from the instruction of an evaluator.
So it should be a part of the system, but not sort of dominating the decision making.
No, I think it should be a part.
What about merit pay for teachers?
You know, I think about that. One, I don't think it should take 15 years to get to the top of the salary schedule. And I think it should be tied in a sense that if you have a 1, 2, 3, and 4, that you have to get to at least a 3 to move up to a certain level of teaching. And so in that sense, right now, we don't have anything that is even remotely connected to merit pay other than the national standard, the national board's certification. So I lean kind of a hybrid, not just purely, because I think it's very difficult to figure out merit pay on just test scores and evaluation. So, but I would look at that once a principal says there are 3, that should be the stage in which they move through the salary schedule.
Randy Dorn, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time.
Randy Dorn is running unopposed to continue on as your state superintendent of public instruction. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde. Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.